Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to The Bodcast, Bustle's podcast for radical body positivity, fat acceptance, and visibility for all identities. I'm Marie Southard Ospina, and today I'm joined by the fabulous Lillian Bustle. Lillian is a burlesque dancer and radical body love activist, a self-identified fat woman who regularly strips down on stage and shows no apology for her body while doing it. And today we'll be talking a little bit about nudity, specifically nudity as a fat person, and the importance of performance art that forces audiences to more or less confront the beauty standards they might be holding on to. So thank you so much for coming on the show, Lillian.
Thanks for having me. I'm thrilled.
Me too. And in case some listeners aren't super familiar with your work, do you want to tell us a little bit more about what you do?
Sure. I am a burlesque performer, and I started out by taking classes at the New York School of Burlesque. And I was interested in getting into it because I had felt for a long time, growing up as a fat kid and then a fat teenager, fat young adult, that I wasn't really allowed to perform femininity. I felt like I was always one of the boys, and I felt like I was trapped in this jeans and t-shirt life. Mm-hmm. And I really honestly I was like, maybe today I'll wear red lipstick to work. Ooh, scandal.
Scandalous.
And then when I started taking these classes, I was like, this is how I can do this. Now, burlesque means something very different to me now, but that was sort of my inroad. I was like, I have these boas, I have all these costumes, somebody's got to see them. So that was how I started. I've been performing for about 4 years, and now I produce a regular show in Jersey City.
You know, looking at your videos, I feel like it might be easy for some folks to peek at your performances and kind of think she must be have always been this confident. You know, she must have always been kind of in touch with her sexuality and her body if she's doing this. So would you say it's been more of a journey than that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, completely. I mean, to be quite honest, even the first year or two that I was performing, I was still super nervous every time and comparing myself to other performers and things like that. It doesn't happen over. I mean, maybe it does happen overnight for some people. But for me, it was every little baby step was a tiny victory. And to the point where now all of that is, I carry it in my daily life, and it's part of me. It's part of my identity and who I am. Whereas when I first started, it was a suit I could slip into when I got on stage. Mm. I would always tell my friends after I performed, I was like, oh my God, I was so nervous. And they're like, you're fine. You didn't look nervous at all. And I'm like, okay, well, you weren't backstage with me at the very beginning when I was trying not to throw up.
Have a panic attack.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny. I like this idea, and I've come across it a few times in people who are really into fat fashion or burlesque as well, of adopting a different persona and taking yourself out of all these insecurities and things you're taught to have, and just adopting the essence of someone who is really confident and who does have, you know, their crap together.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so I think that there's a lot to be said for developing an alter ego, and it's not necessarily pretend, but it's a way to sort of perform, fake it till you make it.
So what do you think of this idea that burlesque is kind of inherently a more inclusive, diverse industry than a lot of others within the dance umbrella? Because I feel like the stereotype has long been that burlesque is all about hourglass curvy women and even fat women, you know, visibly fat women who might not have a place in other physical activities because of, you know, the stigmatization against their bodies. Mm-hmm. So have your experiences backed that up at all?
As a whole, I believe that the burlesque community is more body positive, and there's no other dance performance medium really that I, as a size 20 person, could just be like, here I'm on mm-hmm. the stage, hooray.
Just show up to a ballet performance.
or a Rockettes audition.
Yeah.
Or even, frankly, a dance call for a musical theater show. Mm-hmm. I remember I went, because I used to do a lot of musical theater, and I went in for a call for one of the Wicked Stepsisters in Cinderella.
Right.
and I was the only fat person in the whole room. And I am not dance trained, but I can move. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't pick up the steps fast enough. And I remember very specifically, and this is now a positive visual for me, but I felt like the dancing hippo in Fantasia. And now, that at the time I was like, oh no, dancing hippo in Fantasia. Now I'm like, Dancing hippo for the win. Exactly. No, it's so hard. I moved to New York to do musical theater. And for a spell, I actually had my equity card. And I was going to auditions, and I was really sort of beating my head against the wall because I was getting nowhere. And it occurred to me that the more live theater I was watching, I was like, why don't you think that other people have stories to tell? Mm-hmm. Why do you insult your audience by thinking that they can only hear these words coming out of somebody who's Hollywood pretty or this specific box?
Yeah.
It's bananas. Well, that's one of the reasons why I started doing burlesque as well, is because I was tired of waiting around for permission to make my art. I was tired of being like, oh, pick me. Like, now that I have made connections with people, I have places to perform.
Yeah.
And it's incredible.
Yeah, you can't underestimate the power, I think, of making your space if it doesn't already exist.
Totally.
Yeah. So I particularly love your Yes Act. Yeah. I saw a video and I really want to see it live. So in it, you start out in a beautifully silky black robe and you slowly disrobe to reveal impeccably sparkly lingerie that I really want for myself. And you write the word yes on your body and then pass around markers for the audience to do the same. Can you tell me a little bit about the inspo behind this act and the meaning of it and just what it's like performing it?
Sure. So even within the realm of burlesque, at the beginning, I was very worried about revealing certain parts of my body. I mean, to be honest, there are parts of my body that I'm like, unequivocally, love my boobs, love them forever and a day. And then there are some parts where I'm like, we're okay today, but I might not feel comfortable or might not have at the time showing it on a stage. And that was when I take off the robe, I have no written on my body, and then I wipe it off. And this was sort of like a love song to the parts of my body that I was feeling very no about, my muffin top and just like different parts, that I wanted to honor and just say, you know, it's all me. And like, whether or not I have a corset on that's mm-hmm. showing my chub there, it's still on stage with me.
Yeah.
The hardest, I almost cry every time I do it. So I had never, prior to doing this number, worn underwear that came up over my tummy, or okay. That did not come
that
up over my tummy.
Yeah.
And there's a part in the act where I pull it down, and no is written right on that part of my belly that I have had a hard time with. And every time, like, I give myself goosebumps, and that's not why I do it. I'm not on stage to be like, look at me, hooray.
No, it certainly doesn't feel like that watching it.
Thanks. But it's every time I do it, it just makes my heart bigger. And the first time I did it was the first time I was ever fully nude on stage.
Oh, wow.
And I haven't gotten to do it full nude again since then, because there are so few places that allow that.
Allow it. Yeah.
But it was the best. And then I was just like, how can I get naked again?
Yeah.
More naked.
And how have like the audience reacted to that act? Do you think mostly positive, mostly engaged?
Oh yeah. People cry. They come up to me afterwards crying, and then I start crying, and then it's a wonderful mess. People get excited. I get a lot of feedback. Like, when I come off stage for that, for any of my shows, sometimes people will come up to me. But I can, like, people are, like, almost reaching out to me, like, I have to talk to you about my experience with this. And that has been incredibly rewarding.
That's wonderful.
It's because it's no matter what size we are, everybody has problems with their bodies. And people living in feminine bodies have their own subset of issues.
Absolutely. I think it's very important to acknowledge that due to sexism, most women and most feminine people will be taught to constantly dissect and critique their bodies. And I think we have to acknowledge that the way bodies are treated on a grander social level varies a lot. You know, obviously a fat body is going to be generally treated very different than a thin body. And there's a whole lot of institutional discrimination to back that up. But when it comes to just the basic level of we're all living in this world, beauty standards affect most people. And I think that's why an act like Yes can touch people of all sizes.
I actually, the last time I performed it in Philadelphia, I was right before intermission, and people came up to me even after the act wanting to write Yes on me. So that's what we did for the rest of intermission, and it was super.
Personally, I think nudity can be a very powerful tool when it's utilized by someone. Also kind of just demonstrating complete ownership and autonomy over their bodies, and especially if that person is living in a body traditionally deemed undesirable or unattractive or marginalized in some way. But I do think that notion of like nudity as empowerment can kind of be hard for some folks to reconcile when you consider how often the naked female body in particular is used to sexualize women and cater to the male gaze. And it's like, yeah, I think people kind of struggle to find that balance of doing it for yourself. And I wonder what your feelings embracing nudity have been like, and if kind of those tropes ever played in your head.
Sure. Well, burlesque is unique in that the audience is, it's right about 80% female.
I have heard this before.
Yeah, it's mostly women in the audience. I think that it comes from what you as a performer are trying to get out of it. And I don't know that it helps. I don't know that it helps to go on stage and be like, I'm stripping, don't sexualize me.
There's so many layers to it. Yeah, and then if you do that, you're possibly like demonizing sexuality and demonizing people who do have kind of who are in touch with their body in a sexual connotation, which I don't really think we should do.
Right.
But
well, I don't even necessarily. I have a very complicated relationship with sexuality, and I grew up in a home that was very. My mom had my sister very young and was sort of like, sex is never worth it. Not that I don't love your sister, but I was a mother too soon, and like it's never worth it. And men only want one thing. But so then I would dress very conservatively, and she'd be like, "Why are you afraid of your body?"
Okay.
So it was very complicated and confusing.
Yeah.
When I first started out, I was doing like very fast numbers and sort of like jokey, funny, like jazz hands.
Have I seen one where you're dressed as a turkey?
Yes,
I do enjoy that
indeed.
One.
Indeed. Yes, that's my turducken number. I go from a turkey into a duck into a chicken. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. I'm not getting away from the funny stuff. I love it.
I'm glad.
I did my first stocking peel on stage just a couple months ago because I was worried about the way I would look when I was sitting down.
Can you explain what that is in case you
sure.
don't know?
Sure. So the old-fashioned stockings that you would put on with a clippy garter belt, there's a move in burlesque where you slowly remove it and you sort of hold on to it with your toes. So when you pull it off and pull it back, it creates this crazy beautiful line, and it's very sultry. I was like, well, that would be fun, but then I have to sit down, and then my chub is all chubbing. And then I was like, Lillian, your chub chubs.
My chub is chubbing.
Your chub chubs anyway. And I've gotten a lot of thank yous for that one, too.
That's wonderful.
I feel very lucky. I know that many performers have had people come up and, you know, talk to them about their bodies in a way that they are not comfortable with. And I have had for the most part, incredibly positive experiences with people in the audience.
Have you ever had a negative experience?
Not to my face.
Yeah.
However, on the YouTube for
on
my
the
TED
YouTube.
Talk.
Freaking YouTube.
So my talk with TEDx Jersey City, stripping away negative body image. Mm. When TED puts those out, they own it, and they don't moderate the comments at all.
Okay.
My husband was not really ready. I knew that the trolls were coming. I knew that it was going to happen. And I don't know why I didn't even think to warn him. But there's some nasty stuff on there.
How did your husband react to seeing those comments?
He was incredibly protective and was almost sort of ginger about talking addressing it to me. He was like, oh. So I saw some of them and I was like, I knew you would. This is how, and that was when I, it wasn't until he brought it up that I didn't realize that he wasn't expecting it. And he told me, you know, he was really mad at first, but then when he started seeing some of the other people fighting about it, that it was kind of heartening. He was like, look.
Oh, like people coming to your defense.
Yeah. That's which nice. I don't need anybody to do that ever, but it's fun to see that sometimes.
Yeah. Do you think that it might have given your husband a better sense of what you go through as a fat woman kind of on the regular?
Yeah. I don't talk about it a whole lot. I mean, I commiserate with friends who I know who go through it. But after a certain point, you know, unless it's a specifically bad incident of street harassment or something like that, I don't want to feel whiny. And I have, you know, I have issues where I go back and I invalidate myself for no reason. And when I said to him, I knew this was coming and I get this kind of trash every day and I just don't talk about it. He was shocked. He was like, oh, my God. So I do try to, when things like that happen in person for me in everyday life, I bring it up now. And I don't harp on it, but I'm like, hey, guess what crummy thing happened to me on the street or on the subway?
Yeah, I think that's something else that I really love about your performance art is just that there's just no apology there for your body at all. And It's rad to see from a fat woman who, you know, I know you would have been through a lot of crap for your body because you are a fat woman and that's inevitable. And just to see you reclaim ownership of your form and ownership of a body that might have been like totally desexualized, because that's what happens to fat bodies so often. You know,
for
we're
sure.
just told sex is not for you until you get the thin woman within out. And just to see all that on stage is hugely empowering.
Thanks. Harkening back to what you were saying before about nudity, it's not for everybody. I don't think that everybody should do burlesque. I don't think that it would be comfortable or empowering for everybody. This is how I found my stride, and this is how I found my activism. I think that if it makes people uncomfortable, that's all the more reason to seek it out. And I think that you do still have to specifically seek it out. You can dip your toes into the world of, you know, crafting your visual diet without leaving your home. And I feel like I have created a little bit of a bubble for myself to the point where when I do step back out into the world where people are nasty, like just offhandedly to each other about their bodies, that I'm like, what? And I hope that it's not making me naive. Like, I hope that I'm never like, things really are getting better.
I know what you mean. If you are kind of constantly immersed in this dialogue of body positivity, fat positivity, feminism on the internet, and as you are, you know, on social media, I'm sure, like, you're probably reading a lot about body pos and fat pos. I get that. And I have that sometimes where, like, even if, like, I'm in the bustle office all day and I step out and I've just been in a room with 100 pretty feminist body pos women and someone says something really unfortunate on the street on my walk to Penn Station, I'm like, oh, wow. Like, I briefly forgot that could happen.
Yeah.
Very briefly.
Yeah. But I mean, you have to seek out shows that are diverse, that focus on diversity. But there are tons of burlesque performers with all kinds of different bodies that are out there and who are actively performing. And it's not necessarily the norm. And in some cases, it's very much the exception to the rule. But they're out there and they're intense and they're crazy fabulous.
So switching gears a little bit,
yeah,
we have a segment on the show called Words Matter, where we typically dissect any kind of loaded term or buzzword or even just concept within body image and fat positivity. So I'm hoping we can shed some light on the word brave.
Yeah, sure. And I hear this from a number of different performers for different reasons who get very prickly. And are genuinely upset when somebody calls their work brave. I was recently reading a book that talks about shame, and it's called I Thought It Was Just Me, But It Isn't, by, I believe it's Brené Brown. And she talks about the fact that not only, I mean, shame is insidious and shame is uncomfortable, but we're also terrified of talking about shame. as a culture. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe, so there are people who will say brave and it's condescending, like, oh, nice job, fat girl. Good on you. But the way that I experience it when most people talk to me and they're like so brave, or, you know, the confidence thing, I feel like at that moment they're sharing some of their shame with me. They're like, oh, I wish I could do what you're doing. And for me, the subtext in the parentheses is, but I can't because I still feel a lot of shame about my body. I don't know what other performers experience, but maybe it's a discomfort with other people's shame. Maybe someone's saying, like, you look like me, and I'm ashamed to look like this, but I'm cool with you looking like that and excited that you're celebrating mm-hmm. you. I'm confused. Like, here's the question mark. Can we talk about it? And it's hard then as a performer when you just came off stage doing something incredibly vulnerable, but which to you might seem like no big deal anymore, to have someone then say, your body is othered and it is a big deal, mm-hmm. even if it's a good thing. I don't know. I embrace that word. I don't think that I get to choose what other people think is brave.
No. And I think there's a very marked difference between, like you were saying, calling someone brave in a way that feels condescending, in a way that feels like what they're really saying is, you know, you shouldn't be up on that stage naked, but
right.
you are anyway.
Like, right.
With kind of malice, mm-hmm. and someone genuinely feeling inspired because they've never seen someone who looks like them mm-hmm. in that kind of situation. And they've been told for so long, you cannot be in a bikini on a beach if
right.
you have a fat stomach, you know, if you have a visible belly outline. You cannot be a burlesque dancer if you have rolls and wobbles and bingo wings.
Right.
Like, you can't do those things. So it feels very different.
I still think being in a bikini is brave. I tried it. I tried it last week. And I first of all, I can't find a bikini that is cut for the way that that is comfortable for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I was very aware, like, when I was laying out that even though my tummy was getting tan, that it was getting tan in like, weird bumpy ways. And I, it's not my bag. And while I don't think that it's super brave, I didn't feel like anyone was going to attack me.
Mm-hmm.
But people do attack people on the beach, whether it's physically or, you know, harassment. For their bodies.
Yeah.
So putting yourself out there and saying, this is my body, you might attack me. Isn't there something brave about that?
Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned your TEDx talk.
Yes.
Before, which I loved. And in it, you talk a lot about just reclaiming the word fat. And you tell the audience that you call yourself fat, much like you'd call yourself short, or much like you'd call yourself a wife or a dancer. Does this mean that you kind of bring the word up in casual conversation? And if so, how often do you find yourself having to explain that you don't mean it as an insult?
I think people know me pretty well now.
At this point.
Yeah. And I don't know that I really describe my body a whole lot with strangers necessarily. Mm. I wouldn't shy away from it.
Yeah.
But I also don't know that I would sit down on a plane and be like, hi, I'm your fat neighbor for this ride. Like, I don't know. Maybe that would be funny.
Yeah. It probably would be. I mean, I'd be delighted if somebody was really peppy and wearing a polka dot dress and was like, I'm your fat neighbor for this ride. That'd be great.
We're all in this together. I have friends, though, that I know are still not comfortable with it. And I wouldn't. Cringe might be too far, but I can mm-hmm. see that sometimes they're visibly uncomfortable when I bring it up.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is why, even if you've reclaimed it for yourself, you should be careful with who you utilize it to.
Because
some people won't be there in mm-hmm. their journey yet.
Yeah.
You know, they'll still really, really think of it as an insult because that's what they've been conditioned to think. And
Well, it's so loaded. If you've
yeah.
had someone yelling a word at you your whole life and it's mm-hmm. made you sad, it's really hard to make that switch to be like, oh, it's just a word, because words have meaning.
Yeah.
Words
they
have weight.
Do.
They're important. And words can make you feel things in a very strong and powerful way.
You know, now we're talking about words a little bit. Have you seen the body positive butt hashtag on Twitter today or yesterday?
No. Tell me
okay.
more.
Okay. So this was started on July 5th by Janie Rotten. Dread by Dawn on Twitter is the social thread. And kind of to shed light on how a lot of social justice warriors or proponents of body positivity these days so often leave fat individuals and particularly fat women out of the conversation. And I might be wrong, but I imagine that being a visibly fat performer, often taking her clothes off on stage, might mean that you more or less, as we were talking about, confront people with their prejudices head on, you know, people who might not even realize that mm-hmm. they're still holding on to fat shaming and fat phobia. You know, maybe even someone who thinks they're super open-minded and inclusive of all body types sees you and then they're like uncomfortable because, mm-hmm. you know, they've been confronted with something they didn't think they necessarily were or believed. But I'm wondering if, be it in that context or any context, you kind of have a body positive but that you've encountered through your work. And to give you some examples of like the way people are using this hashtag, Kiddo True, Ariel wrote, body positive but you can't figure out that bodies can exist in intersecting identities. Body positive but you can only participate if you have access to nice things and are willing to perform extremely feminine. Mm. Ushi of Dress Carcass wrote, body positive but you still tag your friends in strangers' pictures who you deem unattractive, making jokes like they're not a real human being. So it's kind of like, it's been very loaded and there's been a lot of great conversations starting from it. Ooh. But I'm wondering if you have a body positive but.
I don't know that I could sum it up in a tweet.
That's okay. But, luckily we're not on Twitter.
I mean, specifically in the burlesque world, I think there is still a lean towards like the hourglass shape, like yay body positive, but
curves
only
in the
only
right
to
places.
curves in the right places for sure. And as far you know, as gender play goes, there is a lot of that in the underground groups. But there, you know, there are shows that would never, you know, book a gender bending act, or I won't say never, but I have not seen that on their stages. So, yeah, I think there is a lot of that in the body positive community. But, like, we're making the rules, right?
Yeah. No, it's true. And I think when we see that, if we're talking about brands and campaigns and things like that, kind of use the term body positive. But you said, you know, the focus is still hourglass, white, fat in the right places, women, right. And it's like, well, that's not what most fatties look like, but okay.
Right. So this isn't exactly the question that you asked, but I'm curious about this because I know that there's a lot of talk about co-opting the mm-hmm. concept of body positivity to make money. And I get that. And I see it all the time. And Lane Bryant makes me the maddest. And we tweet at each other all the time. What's up? Whoever's doing Lane Bryant's Twitter. So I just recently did a photo shoot with Blink. They're a sports club up here, a gym.
Yeah.
And I did it because I saw an ad that they ran where they had a very wide range of bodies in it. And you can never have all bodies in everything. But it was representative enough that I was like, holy crap. So I started hanging out on their Facebook page and I was like, what's up? This is amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm in a very orange tank top in one of their shoots. And I have gotten a little bit of flack about it. I do go to the gym. I like that gym. I don't think that I would do it for anybody else, but I don't think anybody else would ask me to be in their gym ads. And I thought that they were doing it in a thoughtful, caring way. Their focus is like the imagery when you come into the gyms, it's words about like working out to feel good instead of working out to look a certain way.
Yeah.
And it took me years to get there, to exercise as a celebration of my body and what it can do instead of like as a punishment or something that I should even feel ashamed of doing when I'm doing it. And I feel comfortable in that space.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, oh, am I naive?
I mean, what was the kind of criticism that you were getting?
That they're co-opting body positivity to make money. So if we're saying that people are doing that, but we're saying that people aren't representing us, I feel like it's a catch-22.
I know why fitness is very triggering for people. And Yeah, I mean, I'm sure you do. And with fat people, it's this divide of like, you really need to be working out and losing all that weight. But as soon as there's a fat person in the gym, it's like, I don't want to see your rolls wobble.
Right, exactly.
So there's that triggering aspect to it. And I wonder if when people kind of think that a plus size body positive person is buying into that, they get a little touchy. Maybe it was just that it was a fitness company, and and maybe people felt you were like buying into good fatty tropes and things like that.
Yeah, and I get that, but I don't know what the compromise is. Yeah. Like if I and the other people who are in those campaigns didn't say, "Oh yeah, cool, I want to be part of this," then it would just be a bunch of slim, white, able people. So
no, I think it's good that you did it. And anything that's sort of, I mean, people of all sizes and abilities work out, and that's not a concept that society overall has yet grasped.
No,
so I think increasing representation of that idea is a good thing.
Yeah. And I don't care if people go to that gym or any gym, really, at the end of the day. But they treated me very well. We had a cool conversation about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think that my big headache right now, honestly, is that I think that the body positive movement is, it's individual to everybody. And I think that it might be wasting time a little bit. And I feel like I might get accused of tone policing here, but I feel like I would rather just keep talking about what it means to me. And I make an effort to be inclusive.
Yeah.
And I can understand how people who were at the forefront of the movement feel like it's getting pulled out from under everyone's feet. But it's, again, for me, it is fat acceptance and fat positivity is an element of the body positive movement that for me, it is not all encompassing.
Yeah. I think those terms came before body positivity, like fat acceptance in particular was around before body positivity was a buzzword. And I think maybe that's like a big part of the conflict people are having is body pos and its 2016 incarnation was born of fat acceptance. That's why it's here. Mm-hmm. And there's like no kind of awareness of that anymore. And I think that leads to people feeling erased.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense.
That's kind of my interpretation of this.
I feel like it was
conflict.
Really, and I've heard people talk about it on your show before, but like LiveJournal, I feel like good old LJ sprouted a whole bunch of this.
Definitely. So we also have a segment on the show called Body Positive Badass of the Week, and it's just an opportunity for guests to shout out someone who particularly inspires them, be it someone who works in fat acceptance or body pos in and of itself or any kind of these umbrellas. And I'm wondering if there's someone you might want to shed the spotlight on.
Sure. Sonia Renee of The Body Is Not an Apology.
Yes.
Man, oh man. because when I run into people who are not using terminology that is antiquated and possibly hurtful, but I feel would prefer to be caught up. it's an incredible resource. And there's so many subgenres under there that to be able to point people to something like that and have them go discover things on their own. I've had people come back and have conversations with me about it afterwards because it's such, there's so many things, so many personal essays and so many, very blatant, not blatant, that's not the word, honest discussions of vocabulary and terminology. And she's just super. I love what
Sonia's
she's doing.
Sonia's really great.
She's incredible.
Awesome.
I like you, Sonia.
I do too.
But I'm very grateful to have that as a resource to point to.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Lillian, thank you so much.
Thank
for
you
talking
so
to
much.
Me and being so open. It's, you know, we were talking about this a little bit before the show, but even just, I think, talking about nudity can be vulnerable, like, let alone performing it. So,
yeah,
it's, and I do think you're brave, you know, and I mean that in the best of ways. It's empowering to me as someone who grew up fat and struggled with the concept of nudity for so long and people seeing my body, you know, to see someone own it. That will always inspire me, I think.
Thank
until all bodies are equal and it's just no big deal.
Right.
You know, it'll continue to be empowering.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
super.
If people want to find you and kind of keep up to date with your work and performances, how should they go about that?
So you can find me and Liza's podcast at thebodypodcast.com. And if you are looking to find out more about me and where I perform, if you go to www.lillianbustle.com, you can find me there. Lillian_bustle on Instagram, Lillian Bustle on Twitter. Find me. Come find me. I love to meet people. I love to talk.
and go to her shows.
Come see my shows.
They're going to be rad.
Yeah, the first Tuesday of every month downstairs at Tall Day in Jersey City. I produce, I sing and host, and I perform most times, and I have an incredible rotating cast of people who I love dearly come and perform
with me. Magical. Thank you, Lillian.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening, everyone. As always, you can find us on Acast, our awesome podcast network, and subscribe on iTunes and SoundCloud.